This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We offer a warm welcome to you from the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on ordering CDs, cassette tapes, or printed copies of today's sermon will follow the program. We invite you to tune in to the broadcast every Sunday for worship with us.
An old British bishop once wrote, "Of all the sins into which people can fall, none seems so exceedingly sinful as hypocrisy." We'll talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God in heaven, we thank you for another day of grace, and for another day when we can enter into the house of God and worship. We thank you also for bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to this world through radio and television. Grant that through it all, the sinfulness of the human being can be seen, but the glorious grace of God which is found in Jesus Christ our Lord can be experienced. So bless us in this worship. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends in Christ, From your knowledge of the Scriptures, which of the following sins was treated most sternly by Jesus? Was it the sin of stealing? Think about the man who stole from his people by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a tax collector, and he took far more than he should have done, which was wrong. When Jesus confronted him in his home, and Zacchaeus confessed his sin, they were forgiven. And Jesus announced to the people around him, "Today salvation has come to this man's house." Take the lady who was caught in a very act of adultery, recorded in John 8. And when they brought this woman, they said, "We have actually caught her in this terrible sin. She deserves to be stoned." What did Jesus do? He said, "You who are without sin, you cast the first stone." And they went away. And then Jesus looked at her and said, "Did none of them condemn you?" And the lady said, "No." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Your sin is forgiven. But look, don't live that lifestyle. Go and sin no more." But now today, we have Jesus confronting the scribes and the Pharisees. And here he utters these words, which are our text today. Jesus said, "Watch out for the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and be greeted in the marketplaces and have the most important seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at banquets. They are the ones who devour widows' houses and for a show make lengthy prayers. Such men will be punished most severely." To our Lord Jesus Christ, this matter of hypocrisy was one of the greatest sins. To confess Him and then not to back up that confession with your life. The old British bishop by the name of Ryle said, "Of all the sins into which people can fall, none seem so exceedingly sinful as false profession and hypocrisy. It is bad enough to be led captive by open sin and to serve lust and pleasure. But it is even worse to have a religion while in reality we serve the world. Let us be real, honest, and sincere in our Christian faith." Notice what Jesus said as he describes these scribes and Pharisees. They want a lot of attention. They love to be very prominent in their religious position. They walked in the marketplace in their robes, and people looked at them and said, "Ah, yeah, the holy men." They went into the synagogues, and there they had the most important seats. And it was not only respect, it was almost honor for them. They went to the banquets, and they had their places of honor. And all seemed to honor them and almost worship them. But their actions, according to Jesus, were repulsive. They were the same men who could take a widow's mite and use it in such a way that she would have nothing left. Such men will be punished most severely. Don't let your lifestyle contradict what you confess and believe. These are Jesus' words to us this day. I'd like to take a look at this matter of hypocrisy and try to divide it down into two parts. Never giving the blessings of God to any form of hypocrisy, but seeing for our own understanding if there is not another word to be said in explanation of Jesus' attitude towards hypocrisy. The first part of a hypocrite would be one who had a hypocritical lifestyle. While people expected something more of them, their lifestyle did not show it. Their confession was not backed up on how they lived. I will never forget getting a real lesson one day from three young men whom I had had in my confirmation class, who I had taught the Word of God and the teachings of the faith, and they came now to teach me in a rather unkind way, and I don't believe the Lord would have put His blessings upon that, nor on some of the profanity that was used in my study that day. But they got to the heart of this old preacher, who had to go home and say, "It's one thing perhaps to slip and fall once in a while, but it's another thing to let your lifestyle be offensive to others." Here's what they said. They came into my office. It was the days of Vietnam. A man their age, with whom they had gone to school, had been brought back home. He had been killed in that war. These people were very angry. He had given his life, and they didn't like that. In what they said was a war that should be brought to an end and brought to an end soon. They were angry because they looked at me. There I was on a Sunday morning with my robe and my stole, walking in and standing in the pulpit, standing by the altar and praying, proclaiming the Word of God and that God is a God of love, and then never saying anything about the taking of life so needlessly. Not a word, they said, about this war. Why don't you dare to denounce Vietnam and all that is happening there? Why don't you cry out that this country must bring these men and women home? People are dying, and we are killing some on the other side too, who are also precious to Almighty God. They pointed out to me, as only kids could do, and there was no hypocrisy in what they were saying. They were talking straight from their heart. "We're disappointed in you, Pastor. We are disappointed. We are angry in the presentation of the gospel in life that you proclaim." At first, I was very angry, and I wanted to tell them that they were out of order, and that there had been those in the congregation who said, "Don't preach about these secular matters. We'll leave that to Walter Cronkite. You preach what's in the Word of God." And thoroughly convinced me that that is what I had better do. So I held one thing, but I didn't dare to show my life as also being on their side. That while there was such a thing as a just war, maybe at that particular time in that particular war, it was time to come home and not slaughter God's created beings. And they let me know about it. You see, for them at that time, I had a hypocritical lifestyle. That's sin. But you know, there are many other ways we can have that too. I think sometimes the words that the young people used to come and tell me. They told me, "Pastor, if you only knew what went on in our home. Oh, my father and mother appeared on Sunday morning as very God-fearing people. They saw to it that we got to church, and this was all very necessary. But during the week, the way they could live, what they could do to one another, the hard things that they could say about other people. And that was hardly God-fearing. They could present themselves in front of the church, and that was an entirely different lifestyle when they presented themselves to their families. Do you understand that? This is what Jesus denounced. We have to be honest. Our lives need to be backed up by our confessions. Not that we will slip and fall. And He will forgive us and lift us up when we do that. But to live that way, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and all the rest of the days, is feeling that when I get home, I can really relax and be who I really am. But when I get outside, then I got to be a different person in my work, in my play, in my association with those who are my friends and others around me. That's what Jesus is denouncing. Now, what is the other kind of hypocrisy? Well, you know, it's where we can slip and fall. It's not seldom that I used to hear people say, don't want to have anything to do with the church. They are just a group of hypocrites. All I can say is that these people have no understanding of the Christian faith, and they have no understanding of the church. Of course, the church is made up of a group of forgiven sinners who have fallen, every single one of us, into the sin of hypocrisy. Remember Peter? He was a hypocrite. He fell. He slipped. You remember he said, "I will never leave you, Lord. All the rest can leave you, but I'm going to be there right with you all the time." And Jesus looked at Peter and said, "Peter, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times." And the Peter who made that noble confession in the presence of Jesus, and probably the disciples heard him too, was the one who did not back up his confession, but only a short time later turned and said to the enemies of Jesus, "I do not know him." That was slipping and falling. The Apostle Paul also confesses his sin of hypocrisy. When in his letter to the Romans, he said, "You know, it's tough going. The good that I want to do, I don't do. Oh, I say that I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, and I turn around and I don't do it. But that which I don't want to do, that's what I end up doing." There's a smell of hypocrisy in that particular statement. Was Paul a hypocrite in the sense that he had fallen from time to time as a sinful man? I imagine that he would say, yes, you can look at a man who had all the sins in the book in his life. And for that, the Lord Jesus Christ had to go to the cross and die as a payment for my sin, and I had to receive him. But that was not my lifestyle. That is not the way that I wanted to live. You see the difference? The difference when that's just the way you live. If I had continued to present myself to the congregation as I did to those three young men on that particular day, that would be the real sin of hypocrisy. But in the weakness to slip and to fall, it is sin. But Jesus Christ can forgive that. He cannot forgive where we are not repentant and want to see that sin, that life change. They are entirely different. Hypocrisy should be a real concern for all Christians, for it is truly the sin that we fall into. You know, of those first three sins that I mentioned to you, adultery, stealing, how would the world evaluate these as far as they're concerned with the third one, hypocrisy? The world would do nothing as far as hypocrisy is concerned. They'd say, well, join the crowd. But the other two sins could send you to prison. The question is, who is right in evaluating? We don't condone any of it. But who was the one who got the sternest words from the Lord Jesus himself? There is one other warning that we should take here as far as hypocrisy is concerned. Don't let the fear of being accused a hypocrite silence your witness. I've heard a lot of people say, I don't want to bear witness to Jesus Christ. He has suffered, he has died for me. I trust him as my Savior and my Lord. There's no question about that. But I don't want to tell anybody else about it because then sooner or later they'll find a weakness in my life and they'll say, and he says he is a Christian. It's Satan's way of shutting our mouths. And do you know what? Silence can also be a form of hypocrisy, where you know down deep, this is what I believe, but my life doesn't show it by a verbal witness backed up by a godly life. So don't let Satan use this. We will sin. That's who we are. We do not make ourselves comfortable in that forgiveness, but that is who we are. So where we have fallen, Christ is willing to forgive us. And then we can rise up by his grace and seek to be people of convictions who will voice them freely, and then by God's strength live a life that supports what we confess. Very interesting from the words of our Lord Jesus, aren't they? And so he warns us today, be true. We can not only sing, I would be true, for there are those who look to me, but we will live it out, that our children may say, yes, I had a father and a mother who were sinful people, and we saw this because sometimes they slipped and fell. But our father and mother were people who were true blue. They trusted Christ, they confessed him, and their lives backed up what they said. What a testimony. Amen.
Strong, for there is much
Father in heaven, you know us so well. We can never hide our hypocrisy from you. We cannot varnish it over. It stands there. So where we have been hypocritical in our living, will you grant us a gracious forgiveness through Jesus Christ, our Lord? And Father, will you help us to be true? As you have been faithful to us, so grant, O God, that by the power of your Spirit, working through this word, we also may be true. Whether we be individuals, whether we be a denomination, that we in no way try to change what you have revealed, to be appealing to culture. Be with those this day, Father, who suffer, those for whom death draws nigh. Grant, O God, that there they may open their whole soul to you, and that you may come in and assure them once again, in Christ they are yours forever. And be with their loved ones who stand around their beds. Grant them a rich measure of your grace, and may they use it as a time where they can confess with both word and life that Jesus Christ is their Lord. Hear our prayer we ask in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.
You have been worshiping with Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. We pray today's sermon will be a source of peace and comfort for the coming week. As a nonprofit ministry, Christian Crusaders has been supported entirely by listeners for 73 years. Because of these gifts and prayers, people around the world have been able to hear the message of salvation. Some listeners have even chosen to remember Christian Crusaders in their estate planning. These estate gifts has become a significant part of our ministry and allow the giver to continue glorifying the Lord even after their time on earth has passed. To find out more about estate giving or other types of gifts, please call our office at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. Or direct your gifts to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Today's service is also available to be read or heard online. Please visit our website at christiancrusaders.org to find out hundreds of archived sermons, a daily devotion, historical photographs from our ministry's past, and a guide to our new online tools like Facebook and Twitter. Plus, listen to sermons you've just heard anytime, day or night. If you'd like a CD, cassette tape, or printed copy of today's sermon, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. You may also direct a request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Conducting today's service was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders has been broadcasting biblical truth continuously every Sunday since 1936.